Blog Talk Radio.
وقضى إلى لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. So here, first of all, right, this ayah starts off, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. So the Quran has in it different groups that it addresses. It does, right? So it's almost like if you think about it, it'll be very interesting, right? These are all project books. There's so much. But what if we pulled out all of the ayats in the Quran that say, Ya ayyuha an-nas? These are the things that are addressing all of mankind. Right? Seriously, right? It's like pull them all out, and we should be able to take those ayats and really address any group of people. At any time, we're saying, look, you cannot believe in the rest of this. You can say whatever you want, but this, I'm letting you know, until you get to the point that the ya ayyuha alladhina aminu, oh you who believe, until you get to the point that it's addressing you. If you're not at that point, then this is the part of the Quran that I'm going to address you with, because you are of the Nas. You are of all of the human family. There is no way, even if you want to say you believe or you don't believe, this applies to you regardless of belief. So this statement, what Allah is about to make, he's saying that this applies to all of humanity. Then Allah goes on the Quran, he says, inna, and we know, right, this is emphatic. There's no question about this thing. It is an emphatic idea to say, khalaqanakum min dhakarin aw untha. Allah says that he created. Now, in this, Allah has used khalaqa. This is from creation, that he created you from dhakara wa untha. And in this ayat, we're going to be presented with a dichotomy, right? We're going to present it. Allah is not just going to say this thing. He's going to give these things in pairs, right? And so the very first thing, when Allah brings about the very creation of the human being, is that the human being is created in duality. It's created with two things that are coming together in order to create that thing. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created from one reality. He's the only thing that is one. Everything else, Allah is telling us that in the human being, when I'm addressing all of humanity, so as we begin to have discussions about interfaith, as we begin to have discussions about what's right or what's wrong, please understand there is duality in the thing, right? There's only one way. That's Allah. Beyond Allah, Allah has allowed the human being room for thought, for understanding, room for growth, room for conversation. And he presents it because he's letting you know that I created you from a zakr and an untha. None of us, absolutely none of us, are created without zakr and untha, without masculine and feminine, every single one of us. So even at the start of conversation, really, you know, and you all know me, right? I'm still trying to buckle down and write my books on zakr and untha, because for me, it's like the base. I believe, because Allah presents it that way. He's presented it this way here, is that before you can get to tribes and nations, before you can get to families, before you can get to all of that, you have to deal with the reality that the masculine and feminine has to come together. It has to. And so before we get to our process of interfaith, right, and what you believe, you first have to recognize that there is a dichotomy that presents even you, that is both zakar and untha. So now let's look at what Allah goes on and says. Then he goes on and he says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. He says, and aja'alnakum. So now Allah says that he makes, okay? So one is khalaq, created the thing. He's created out of khalas, yani nothing, right? He created the thing. And then Allah uses ja'ala because now he's saying, and I evolved you in that creation. I evolved the thing. Something that is ja'ala is created. It's made over a process of time. It's not khalaq is boom, it's there, right? Allah says thee and the thing is. But the ja'ala is the thing that it is a process. So we didn't actually become the tribes, the nations, the families, the different groups immediately. We actually started as one group. And over time, over evolution, over moving, we developed into these other groups. Intentionally, if Allah didn't want the thing wouldn't be, right? So Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعَابًا وَقَبَائِلَ. Now look at this شُعُوبًا. The شُعُوبًا coming from شَعَبًا is to say that the thing separates. So, and once again, we use tribes and nations or tribes. Both of them have that similar idea, but the idea is of a different root. One of them is saying that you are scattered from the same root. So now you become these different branches of the same reality, of the same tree, right? You can't, that Zakar and Unfa that came together, Allah allowed you to evolve and he made you after time. He made you to branch off. And then he made you qaba'il. That means that, and then he created you into a type of tribe that was able to welcome and to bring back in. Isn't that powerful? He said, I'm literally creating you to branch and to come back. And let me ask you something. If you get ready to eat some food, in order to eat food, you have to go out and get the food and then do what? Bring it back to yourself. That's the process of eating, right? The process of eating is to reach out and then to do what? To come back in. Of knowledge and learning and understanding and develop is to go out and to come back. To go out again and to come back. So Allah created the human being in order to branch out. Not to stay out, but to then come back in and to keep growing in that fashion. Because when you come back in and you get all of the information that the tentacles went out and got, when you come back in, you're like, wow, we're more powerful now. We're greater. We understand more. We can do more. And then you grow and you branch out again. And you come back, right? So he made you into the type of entities that are made to branch out and come back. Branch out and come back. This is what it's saying in the Quran when Allah is saying the shu'ul bawwa qaba'il. He said lita'arafu, right? So that you can now, right, have this knowledge and understanding. Now you can know something because you branched out and you got some information and you came back. You branched out and you got some information, you came back. Now, if you branch off in your branch and you never bring your reality back to the human reality of commonness that we talked about before, isn't that this is how I started this, right? This is how we started this, is that Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what makes him so potent and powerful as a leader for all of humanity is that his growth never took him so far out that he wasn't able to come back down and deliver the information to the people in such a fashion that everybody, even the people who didn't want to follow Muhammad the Prophet, they couldn't deny his demeanor and his manner. They still liked him. Look, when you just think about how the people responded to Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he had revelation, is that none of the people, right? You all remember when they were rebuilding the Kaaba and they said they were fighting over who was going to put the black stone in. And then when they said the next person that walks in, he's going to decide, and they're all thinking that, you know, mashallah, whoever walks in, they're going to be of my tribe, and everybody's like, we just going to accept it, whoever, and they're going to pick their tribe. But who walks in but Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And they're all like, Allahu Akbar, literally, you know. Now, please know before this, they use Allah. They're all excited. They're like, yay, it's Muhammad. Because they know out of all of the people, he was the right. So this is that nature. This is the human being that we are ja'ala, that we are made into, that we branch off and then we come back. So then Allah goes on in the Quran, right, in the same ayah, he says, he says, and surely, right, this is another emphatic statement that Allah is saying, that we have akramakum, that we have made some of you noble, kareem, yani. He says, with Allah, in the law, with Allah. And then he says, and of, it says, atqakum, right? That those who are the most notable of you with Allah are those who are atqakum. That those who have, people say the most righteous, but this is taqwa, right? So this is saying those who are the most conscious and regardful. The most conscious and regardful, right? So in, I'm going to get to my next ayat. I got T minus 7 minutes. So in the taqwa, the idea of taqwa is that you have different levels of consciousness, right? Meaning that where you are today as a conscious Muslim is different than where you were 5 years ago, right? It's different than where you were 10 years ago. And so you, as a person, we're constantly growing in our taqwa, right? Inshallah, right? We're constantly growing. And so I love using, you know, that Allah in the Quran, that he says, don't get near right? Don't get near fornication. He actually didn't say don't do the thing. Allah goes beyond that. I'm telling you, that it's Allah, right? Is that to say don't go near a thing versus don't do a thing are two different ideas, and the nearness is the more powerful of the one than the don't do, okay? Because what the idea of the nearness does is that it taps into this idea of consciousness. So my nearness to fahsha now and my nearness to what fornication was 20 years ago may be different, right? 20 years ago, oh, no, I can go out with this person. It's okay. Oh, we're just hanging out, y'all. We're just doing this. But nearness, as you grow in your level of consciousness and understanding, you're like, ooh, wait, that's actually not acceptable. Oh, you know what? That's not acceptable too. Now, all of us are on different levels in our taqwa. So what is near to me and what is near to you may be two different things. And this is where this idea of taqwa, because Allah then says, "Inna Allaha alimun khabir," that Allah, he is all-knowing and aware of what you are, where you are, and what you're doing. So in that process, it's to allow us to really understand that where you are in your development and your understanding, even as an entire group of people, right, as Muslims, is that you have to understand that your community taqwa and consciousness may be different than another community taqwa, okay? And so it's not about levels as it is about where you are. So this is so now let's go to the next ayah. If, inshallah, we'll have time to pull it all together here. So in Surah An-Nahl 16, Surah 16, ayah 125, this is where Allah says, اُذْعُ إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. So this is where Allah is telling us in the Quran, so he's giving us a command. He said udu'u, right? So this is saying to call the people, to be a da'i, right? To be a da'i ila sabili rabbika. Now look at this. Allah is telling us to call the people to the sabil, to the way of the Rabb, to the way of the one who is evolving the people, okay? He didn't say in this statement, udu'u ila sabilillah. And so please, we cannot in any shape, form, or fashion not pay attention to every single choice of words of Allah. Allah is intentional in every shape, form, fashion, beyond even our capacity to comprehend. So Allah did not tell us to invite the people to Allah. Allah says to invite the people to the Rabb. Invite the people to the one who evolves you stage after stage. So as we're having these conversations and interfaith dialogues, don't try to bring the person to your reality. Help the person evolve their own reality. And that's a different thing. I don't have to have you think like I think. I allow myself to understand where you are, and I give in a very wise and strategic fashion. I give you the level of information that is needed for you to go to Allah and evolve you. Allah doesn't need to evolve you according to me. Allah needs to evolve you according to you. So when we're having these discussions with people, we should be having the discussion according to the Rabb. Invite them, even in spaces where these are Muslims and Muslims, invite them to an understanding and a mercy that is with Allah that allows the person to keep intact their reality but to evolve it. This is what Allah says in here. He says, bil hikmati wal ma'idah. Right, in wisdom and in a manner that keeps the person sound, right? And then Allah goes on. He says, "Wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan." Now, I want you all, once again, this is back to this masculine and feminine. When people think about the feminine reality, there are principles that go with it. And the feminine reality, the principles that go with it, are principles of group realities, not individual realities, right? Masculine reality. My sound, they are going out there. That I'm standing in this thing, right, as a individual, right? That's that symbol. But the feminine reality is one of a womb environment that really encapsulates a whole group. Look at the choice in language here for Allah. Allah says, bil hikmah, using a ta marbuta, wal ma'iza, once again feminine, al hasana, right? This is all feminine. So then when Allah comes in, he says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. He says, and now struggle and it says debate, but this is the judge. It says to have this discourse and back and forth with them, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ, with that which is أحسن, which is best. But this is all feminine, بِالَّتِي هِيَ, because it's referencing back to the hikmah and the ma'idha that is hasana. So if Allah is using this, he's letting you know what kind of movement should you be having with this debate and these people in this interfaith group. You should be having the conversation with them with the feminine part of your reality. You should be having this conversation with them with the Khalifa nature in yourself, right? You should be having this conversation with them in a very kind and community-oriented reality, meaning keeping people intact, helping them to grow, nurturing their thoughts, nurturing their ideas, nurturing where they are, not to obliterate it, not to just be right, not to say, oh, you need to just do this thing. Trust me, I know. Because please know, and this is, look, this community that we're in, we actually are just evolving ourselves of being able to scholastically present our thoughts. Before we could present our thoughts with a lot of heart, a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, And we know passion can get you places. You can have so much passion that people, they don't really care what you said. They just know that it had to be right because you were passionate about it. Okay? We've gotten through on a lot of passion and sincerity. Very sincere. But in order to really tap into the people and to really be able to now help them to understand what we have felt in our hearts, what Allah has blessed Imam Waris al-Din Muhammad with, for us to now understand it fully, we have to go into the Quran in a scholastic manner. We have to know Quranic Arabic. We don't have an option to say, oh, I can kind of know, and then I want to get into spheres with people and debate on things. And although I have a sense.
Anissa, you're muted. Please repeat what you just said.
Hold on 1 second. Let me make sure my connection is
on. Take your time. We can hear you very clearly right now.
Okay. Don't know where it stopped off. Okay. Alhamdulillah. So really, I was just winding up to say that as we go out into interfaith dialogue as a community, as a unit, is that I challenge all of us to challenge our own knowledge. Right, to challenge our own knowledge of Quran, not the knowledge of Quran that we have based on our sincerity, not the knowledge of Quran based simply on everything that we literally read of Imam Waris al-Din Muhammad and our capacity to regurgitate, right, that thing, but the capacity to understand it according to the Quran in its own language, according to us really digging deep, spending time in our own meditation of these ideas and really challenging our thinking that if we have it and we know it, or are we simply just saying out of our feelings, right? And so that is, as we go and we move into other spheres, there is no, you all, those who know me, there is no doubt in my mind about what the African-American Muslim, right, specifically here in America, where what type of branch we are to humanity. Okay, I don't have any doubt. None, I'm saying it's just not there for me. What I'm challenging us to say is that we have to be able to send our branches out and come back. It has to make sense to all of humanity in order for it to benefit humanity. And in order for it to touch humanity, we have to deliver it in the purest of fashions according to how Allah wants us to deliver it. And it will be our reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying to go out and get someone else's. I'm saying this is our branch. This is us. This is our people. Our people have to go out and make sure that even in this reality that we are getting the knowledge and then we are coming back into our common humanity, and that we're constantly doing that thing and that process inside of ourselves, that we're constantly growing our own knowledge of Quran and then going back to the tafsir of Imam Waris al-Din Muhammad, not now just with a feeling, but with a conscious taqwa mind. Okay, we have to do that. And I don't care what age you're at. I don't care what stage you're in. I don't care if you say, I've been doing this, and you know, Sister Nisa, I'm past that point. I'm not going to get to where you are. You don't know that. You don't know how fast the process is. You understand what I'm saying? And then you also have to understand that we are a collective reality. So when you are doing something individually, it doesn't really matter if you meet the quote-unquote goal. It is merely the struggle and the process of that feeds into the whole. right? So that way, when we go out representing this community, representing Al-Islam as a whole, giving the sound knowledge that we're giving to the people that we have with our sincere faith and knowledge that we've had for a very long time, that we have with it an understanding of even what the other people understand, and we're able to connect those realities for them to help them grow and to meet their evolver, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, hope it got me. So we'll stop there.
So Anisa, first of all, let me tell you that what you just touched on is a conversation that I'm hearing more and more amongst the scholars of the Quran and those who have a command of the Arabic language, that because of our experiences, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised us to be able to connect with the experiences of so many vast communities, yes, and that he has raised us to be that mercy for others.
Yes.
That is a conversation I'm hearing more and more of amongst our intellectuals.
Yes.
And I say that because that's a big responsibility when we think that about that we are being raised to influence others and to be able to make others feel that it's okay where they are. And I see this as the foundation or the real impetus of mental health, no, the sorry. Problems that we're having with mental health. So give me your thoughts on that and expound on that just a little more, because I think when Imam Muhammad said, may he be in the highest place in paradise and be forgiven his sin, when he told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had intervened on us as he did Moses' people, I think he was, I believe like you, that he was alluding, he was trying to get our attention to understand the plight of Moses' people, and then to understand that they didn't quite make it to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to do. And he wanted us not to fall into that trap.
Yes.
Okay, so please.
Yeah. No, so you, that actually, so, and the trap was to say that we're chosen, and simply because we're chosen, the thing is done. Right. So that was the trap of Moses' people. If you know, right, you look at many people in that sphere, and they still claim the chosen. They still claim the chosen, but don't do the chosen work. You understand what I'm saying? If you got chose, you got to do the work. Because if you don't do the work, then it becomes like a curse. Right. Because now it becomes the thing that you would have wished you wasn't chose because you didn't do the work. I mean, every time you don't do the work, you meet with what? You meet with the problem because you have to do the work. So what we're saying in this community is that this, the whole, and if we can understand what happened for the African that was brought to America and the Americas, right, is this was a human movement. This isn't a small, I'm saying this is about the evolution of all of humanity. So even when we were talking about those branches of going out, I want you all to get this idea. We are merely a branch. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying don't get it twisted. Don't get the idea twisted. Please get to the fullest of the understanding is that Muhammad the prophet was Muhammad the prophet, but he's still a common man. We will be this people, but we're still a branch. And in that branch, if the reason that people tap into in African-American culture goes all over the world and it permeates their environments in such a fashion is because the soul of the African-American is where it is. Well, when that soul meets Al-Islam proper, and when I say proper, you all, I'm saying we still, please know, we are still being ja'ala. We're still being made into the group of people that we talk about. We're still evolving and making. Allah is still working with us to really be Muslim. And I'm saying in a fashion, when those believers during the time of Muhammad the Prophet, when they met al-Islam and they lived al-Islam, it lit up the whole world. I'm saying the entire world. Let me ask you all, are we lighting up the world yet? I'm being sincere. Be sincere with yourself. When people meet you, do you light their whole world up to the point that whole areas of knowledge are changing? I'm telling you, this is where we're headed. This is what we're being made into. That's what's happening. But it's not happening just for us. It's happening so the world, so the whole of humanity can evolve. And when they do, more branches will come from other cultures. Don't just think you're the only branch. It doesn't work that way. The idea is that when all of the branches do what they do, Allah has the capacity to choose all the people to do something different. And when every group of people do what they're supposed to do, then the whole of humanity changes, and there will be more branches. That's what we represent. We represent that reality in a very big way. We represent that idea of that black stone that is the constant for humanity. It is a constant reality that you are both common and profound. That's who we are. So when if you look at the people right now, we get caught up in the profound, which that's what brings about that mental instability. Because you can't keep up with the profound without being common. You can't keep up with the idea of greatness and you don't bring yourself down. When you get into those spaces and those spheres and you're thinking and you allow yourself to keep shooting up and don't come down, you will drive yourself mad. That's what makes people not able to sustain their lives, and they think it means nothing because they're not allowed to come back down and be common and say, guess what? Although you've made these movies, although you've earned this bit of wealth, although you've done all of these things, you are still a common man, period. And that is what allows people to be grounded. That's what allows their mental capacity to stay cool, because guess what? When things don't go right, they say what? Because I'm common. I'm just like you. Didn't work out this time. I guess I'll just have to keep going. MashaAllah.
You know, Anissa, another point that I want to make is that I'm old enough. When you talk about the differences between what we once thought and what we think now, I'm an example of that, and I represent so many on this Zoom right now. There was a time when I was, that it was said repeatedly, did not God hear the prayers of our enslaved ancestors? That was something very, very heavy on our hearts, because we know the horrific treatment and oppression of our people. Now, let's fast forward. Now all I hear is that it's our time. And I keep hearing this again and again, and it's no longer did not God answer our prayers, but now we're beginning to see the relationship between the oppression of our enslaved ancestors and the purpose. We're getting a glimpse into the purpose of their oppression, which gives such a greater meaning and definition to our collective experiences of our ancestors. And so I know that, you know, my father used to say it's not always the answer but the question. And so I want you to, with your passion, address that, because that connectivity needs to be made, that we can no longer believe that enslavement was a mistake.
Yes, right? And so when you start living what the reality produced, you start saying, I would never change that reality. You will literally get to a point that you'll be like, go slavery. No, enslave the people again, but I'm saying you now, it's like there is absolutely no disconnection from where and what was produced and what happened. And then it's not tied into, it's not the magnificence of slavery, but the magnificence of Allah.
That's right.
Right? That's what you drive yourself into is that, I'm saying, when you look at the whole thing, you're like, only Allah. I'm saying that is, it's like, this is, it becomes scientific proof of Allah. It's like, if you ever doubt it, right? I'm saying, you all, we're in a space to be proof, to be witnesses of right. The biggest reality for humankind, and that is Allah. Off of slavery, for through that channel, we become the biggest, I mean, literally, and it is, I'm saying, I'm with you, Sister Sitar, is that it is evolving itself. I'm just working hard to be in the process. But I let everybody know, I'm just striving real hard not to be of those I want to be of those who go for it before the victory is seen. Now, I'm letting you all know, you better get on board and start doing the work because the victories are starting to be seen.
Yes.
I'm saying, and you say, I don't see any victories. You know that the victories are still small, but I'm letting you know, I'm saying it's happening and the victories are starting to be seen. And the more that it happens, people are going to come. But look, it is not without, even now, think of all the lives that were lost during slavery. Think of all the difficulties and the hardship of Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those believers. I want you all to know, just as big as it starts to grow, it's just as big as the fight starts to happen. Okay? So, I mean, now that's the other piece of this, is that this is real. This is, you're talking about real progress for humanity. Please know, we have an enemy that desires not real progress for any human being. I don't care what you look like. And so we have to know that that is a reality. And when we're staying firm, but we're so strategic and we're so believing in Allah, that there won't be any stop for the thing. There is absolutely no stop for the thing. The question is, where will you be in the process?
And, you know, you were probably too young, and you may, I'm sure Imam Muhammad repeated this many times, but those on this Zoom who are my age or close to my age, we remember Imam Muhammad expressing these visions. He used to say to us, learn the Quran because they're going to be coming to you. Learn Arabic because you need to know. They're going to be calling you to the table. You're going to be sitting there and you're going to be needing to translate and describe and share this life. But the one often repeated statement Imam Muhammad used to make that I had the experience of is he used to say that whenever he traveled, people would say to him that we were very special. But he never really elaborated on that. And I won't forget one time when I was at Umrah and I was sitting next to a Muslim sister from Qatar. And she said to me, where are you from? Well, of course, she didn't associate me with being American. But I said, I'm from America. And she said, you are very special because how can you be Muslim in America? And we need to understand, and I know we do, I'm preaching to the choir, but our job, Nisi, you hit it on the nose. We are the bridge for our community and the community at large to making sense of their human life.
Yes. Amen.
We're making sense for them because we are a practical people. We come from a very practical background, foundation. We've suffered, and everybody has had their story. Don't get me wrong. Every people have had their story, but certainly not as oppressive as ours. So anyway, we're going to end it there. I wanted to take questions. But I'm going to end it there. We're close to the time. I have about three announcements I need to make, Anissa, and if you could then close us in prayer, I would appreciate it. And being fair, is there one or two questions? If there's a question, raise your hand. We'll take two questions if you have them. But it needs to be pertaining to this subject. So don't ask something about last week. Okay, no questions. Anyway. We do have a question. There's a hand up. Dr. Farida, can you?
Sort of take yourself off mute.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And your question needs to be short and to this topic.
Okay. I have had a discussion with a Muslim. He's been Muslim a very long time, about associating with and taking into your intimacy non-Muslims. And my response to him is that you don't have to be intimate, but you do have to communicate and help them to understand Al-Islam and not to, you know, just discard them because they're not Muslim. So I'm rushing, so I hope that makes sense.
Is your question, I mean, I'm trying to see what the question is.
The question is,
go ahead, sister, what is your question?
The question is, what is the relationship? What should be the relationship between a Muslim and non-Muslims in terms of your communication with them?
Okay.
You know, it's like, he's like, you know, you have to always have an arm's length with these people.
Yeah, mashallah. You know the answer to this, so here's the thing, what I'll say to that is, and I'm going to still use Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that you all know when he was, when he and Abu Bakr were escaping from Mecca to Medina, that he employed a non-believer who knew the lay of the land to take them, right? This is Muhammad the Prophet, right? And so you ask, what is that? Like, he not only, I'm saying, this is a conversation. You say you keep him at an arm's length. Here they are escaping, right? They're escaping Mecca out of them literally trying to kill Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he's employing someone who is not Muslim. He is not a believer. He's not accepted at Islam. He is employing him to lead them out in a very dangerous situation where this person could have easily gone back and said, hey, this is what I'm about to do. Let's get him over here, right? So one, that means he's ascertained that this person is not going to do that, but he's actually working with this person in order to get a end goal that is beneficial for literally him and for the whole of that community. Well, when people say, when Allah in the Quran is talking about this intimacy and these levels, it does require us to really dig a little bit deeper into the Quran to understand what Allah is talking about. And very quickly, it's an idea of you have those who are going to protect an interest, right, in Al-Islam total, and you are the protector of that interest. When you're talking about the intimacy level, we cannot expect any other community to protect the reality of the Quran. You shouldn't hold other people, and you shouldn't bring them in and say they're supposed to do that thing. But you should always be in conversation with the whole of the people if they are not at odds with you, right? And so if the people are not at odds, you're not at odds. Do you hold them to protect certain things for you? That's what you don't necessarily do. We don't really expect people to protect the Quran. It is our responsibility. Those who stand up to protect the Quran who are not Muslim, that is their choice, and we accept it of them, but we don't expect it of them, demand it of them, and engage in that fashion with them for it, if that makes sense. And once again, I'm giving you a very short, quick, even surface thought process, but this is why I'm a very strong proponent, and I'm telling you all, just hands down, We have to evolve ourselves to understand the Quran, so when people ask you, they go to that question, you don't just tell them English. You literally go into the Quran. You literally break down according to grammatical structure. You dig deep in really explaining to them the book that they follow. And this is something that on common standard, the average Muslim does not do and lacks the capacity to do. But this is where we're headed. Do you understand what I'm saying? We will be a group of people that the common one of us has to not only to speak the Quranic Arabic, read the Quranic Arabic, write the Quranic Arabic, but to literally delve into it and to pull out what is necessary to change the human station. That is what we are doing.
Thank you, Anissa. We're going to end here. I have just a few announcements, and I'm going to ask Anissa to close us in dua. So please read your Study Al-Islam newsletter. It is dedicated to some of our pioneers who have transitioned within the last 2 weeks span. We ask Allah to forgive them their sins, and may the gates of paradise be wide open to receive them. For all the history buffs, please schedule to watch the 1619 Project on Hulu that is going to air on January the 26th. That's supposed to be a big project on the history of our contribution to America. And so that's going to be, it's called the 1619 Project, and it's going to air on Hulu on January the 26th. Please don't forget to donate to Study Al-Islam to keep the program going strong, and order your conference DVD on the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. May they both be in the highest place in paradise. And remember, community, until we meet again, this life is for the living. Be happy. Be healthy. Allah has placed so much beauty in his creation. Don't let the world darken it for you. Don't let the world darken it for you. Remember what Allah says. He says, verily, those who say our Lord is Allah and remain firm on the right path, on them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Your sister and friend, Fitra Muhammad, Sister Nisa, if you could close us in dua.
Ameen. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. Our Lord, do not allow our hearts to deviate after you have guided us. Grant us mercy from your presence, for you are the granter of bounties with no measure. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ameen.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Until next week. Thank you, Anissa. May Allah protect you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليكم to everyone. Not to repeat what has just been shared, most word, oh, praise be to Almighty God. I'm a temporary step in this morning, Martha Naila Abdullah. It's been a great pleasure. I'm going to ask Imam Kareem Hamid if he has any comments before we close out with got to be thankful and what is coming up. Inshallah, what is expected, I believe, is read a good book with our dear sister out of San Antonio, Texas, Rabiha Jackson, and following that, the contemplations of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, Rahim Allah Huley, with Imam Kareem Hamid and Michael Hamid, inshallah. So we can get a confirmation on that, Imam. Please, by all means, share with us here. Yes, I'm coming out. All right. Bilal, Apple, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Thank you to Allah for Sister Anissa and also Sister Fitcher for that program. I'm trying to pick something to read, so this is something I would like to say in regards to the talk. Which I'd like to mention that in the Thomas phrase, Vitalan, Sister Aisha, they started, Allah gave them something to work with, and they began to make their motion dealing with growing and developing the AM360. And he formed a group, and they met in North Carolina, South Carolina. And what it is, they formed teams. And the teams, when the teams came back, people had different the interest that those who was on the team there, they joined together. And what we have now, we have AM360. And AM360 is a good entity to help the people in the society. And the more we help the people, the better we can, they would accommodate what we do in our efforts. So praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Thank you, Bilal. Praise be to Allah.
Thank Allah. Alhamdulillah.
What our beloved sister Anisa has shared with us is very important, that we have to hold on to our commonality, the common man, the common human being. Common means that which everyone else possesses, and that is our humanity. No matter how high we reach in status, stature, to be able to connect with our common humanity. Stop right there, my sister.
All right, bro.
Assalamu alaikum to all. Imam Kareem.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Please take over from here. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Should I transition to the whole seat or just okay? Praise be to Allah. We are grateful to partner with our beloved sister Fikra Muhammad every Sunday morning for the study of Islam, and we are grateful for the wonderful scholarly guests that make their presentation on study of Islam. And Sister Anisa Dewan and people of her era, they are in the leadership now. You just heard my beloved sister express the importance of us delving into the language of the Quran and be able to extract from it the wisdom, the knowledge, and the logic of it. But the most important thing that she's said, as far as I am concerned, is that we must always remain in association with common humanity, the common man. That is what the Iblis did not believe in, the common man. That and being able to relate to the common person, to have a concern for our common humanity, that we do not become arrogant, that we realize that Iblis, his reaction to the man that Allah was creating was, I am better than he. We will not fall into that trap, and we join in the human family, that we remain human, not arrogant, not extravagant, not going to extremes. So I'll stop right there. We are grateful to all of you that tune in every Sunday for the study of Islam. Praise be to Allah. And let me say that we come to you each and every Sunday with the greetings of peace and we leave you with the greetings of peace. Of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, and remain forever grateful, forever thankful. Which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? I leave you now with the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatton. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, sailing in prayer, Ben's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
do the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day.
But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for the lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night. And friends that last forever and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Remain grateful.